This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan 1108 as we kick off the season in style. MLB Network Studio 42. Big thanks to Mark DeRosa, local kid. It was fun. Local kid, Bergen Catholic, stud over at UPenn. Great mind for the game, but really just an authentic, you know, East Coast, Jersey, New York approach and, you know, presence. He was fantastic. Let's get back to these calls as well. 877-337-6666 as, you know, I think that, and I'm okay with this for now, I think that the Yankees are, well, I don't share, Hop, we just got to get this phone thing set back up, thanks. I don't think that they're as boom or bust as you do. And
the Yankees, defense, you're saying.
Yeah. So does Mark DeRosa. Mark thinks there's, you know, not a whole lot of middle ground. I disagree, because I think that there could be a situation, while I don't necessarily see this happening, I think it's in play, where they score a ton of runs, but, you know, the bullpen gets a little overused and because of some early inefficiencies or deficiencies in the starting staff. And because of that, they don't achieve what I think that they will. But I don't see this Yankee team really under even the most gravest of circumstances, you know, being an 80-win team again or seven. No, I just don't see it. Yeah. I don't see that.
Now, again, the ceiling, like the floor for the Yankees is, to me, similar to what it was last year. Like, when I say floor, I mean not making the playoffs. Not okay. like Mets' floor is like, oh, my God, they won 74 games. Like, the Yankees' floor is still going to be higher than most, just like it was last year with the 82 wins or whatever it was, but missing the postseason. I think if you miss the postseason this year, it is a disaster for the Yankees.
Oh, God, yeah.
But there is a bigger – like, I kind of think the Mets' window is, even with J.D. Martinez, we're still looking at 85, 86 to about probably the same thing, a maybe 10-game or even fewer, maybe a 7-game window. Okay, they could win 86 games or so, and they could maybe, you know, worst case, maybe they win 77 or 78, something like that.
Uh-huh.
With the Yankees, I could feel like if everything clicks, they could win 95.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they can win over 95. And if it doesn't, then you're talking about from, let's say, 95 to 81 or 82.
Well, I agree with the 95, you know, when you look at that arrow, if most things go right or, you know, things go well. I do think 95 is very attainable, but why I just don't see the floor, and we'll get back to these calls, I don't see the floor as low as some. Like, think about what went wrong last year.
But it's already gone wrong
this year. Well, outside of Garrett Cole, what's wrong?
Does it need to be anything else? And Garrett Cole's been banged up.
No, but that's a big thing. I'm not trying to minimize. DJ LeMay, honestly.
But he was their leadoff hitter, so you can't.
But he didn't play well last year. It's not like he hit 330 like he did a couple of years ago when he first got here.
Who's replacing him?
Well, opening day is going to be Cabrera.
And he's
faster.
He's faster.
Yeah, he is. He's a young kid.
He could run harder the first when he flies out to left.
Or he could be more of an athletic, dynamic presentation at the bottom of the order.
He's had opportunities all day. Yeah,
LeMay is
a pro. Cabrera's had opportunities. Hasn't done much with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I want Cabrera there for the whole season. Don't get me wrong, but Yankees can't survive the first 10 days of the season without DJ LeMahieu, who had one of the weakest contact rates in all of baseball.
No, but you asked me what's gone wrong, and I say Garrett.
But I don't consider that going wrong.
But
I don't think DJ's that good.
They lost their leadoff hitter, though. Whether you think he's not good or not, he was their leadoff hitter going into the year, and they're starting third baseman, and the drop-off is going to be something. There is a drop-off from LeMahieu to Cabrera, but that's not even the main point. The point is they lost Gerrit Cole for 2 months, and Aaron Judge is already banged up. He's healthy, sure, but he's banged up already. Well, he hasn't even played a game.
He's playing opening day, and here's the thing. With everything that went wrong last year, and by the way, even guys who were healthy, some guys just didn't play well, as we know. We know the checkpoint of 10 or 12 things that I can rifle at you right now. I won't, just to be more economical, but everything except Cole getting hurt went awry last year. Really everything. Everything. Now this year, you know, unless Judge runs into a wall, but even if he does, you got Soto to offset Judge's absence from, like, there's just more answers, which gives me a higher level of confidence. Not that the Yanks are going to win the World Series, but if they do bottom out, and whatever some perceive to be bottoming out to be, I just don't think it's going to be as low as some people do, but that's why you play the game, Sal. We'll see what's going on. Jamie's in Erie, Pennsylvania with BT and Sal on the Fan. What's going on, Jamie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
All right.
Big Yankee fan, but I just got to say, I'm not trying to be one of these fair weather fans, but Aaron Judge, his time to win is now. He's an old 31, if that makes any sense to you. Okay, he's injured all the time, and I love the guy, and he's a great ambassador for baseball. But his time to win is now. You didn't go out and you didn't pull the trigger and you didn't get Blake Snell and you didn't pull the trigger and you didn't get Montgomery, and you know, Cease. I can go on and on with the names of the guys we didn't get.
Yep.
And, you know, how long are we going to wait to try to just, like, you know, I hate to say it because everybody's been using the phrase, go all in and try to win now. Because, you know, what is Judge going to be like in 4 years? He might be going out the right field in the walker, you know?
He's probably going to be, I'll tell you what he's going to probably be in 4 years, Jamie, and this is, and it's unavoidable, but I think it is what it is. He's going to be less important to the ultimate success of the New York Yankees.
Well,
that's
Spencer,
the bottom line.
Spencer Jones and Dominguez
and
Wells.
Volpe and Austin Wells and, you know, some of these young pitchers they have coming up. Not that Aaron Judge, you know, in 2 years can't be one of the top 10, 12, 13 players in baseball. I think he still can be, but I think when Aaron starts to, you know, slow down, I think it's going to be fairly noticeable, and that contract's going to be a bit of an albatross at the end. I admit that. It's going to handcuff him.
It might be now.
You know
and,
that.
And that's the point of the caller and where I'm in agreement.
What do you mean it might be now? What might be now?
The contract might be an albatross now.
Stop.
What are you talking about? Year one, it didn't even work out.
You mean for the 2024 season or the fact that there's 7-8 years to go?
I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about the age, his ability to stay healthy, and that there's 7-8 years to go.
Forget about the 7-8 years. Let me ask you this. Going into opening day, is Aaron Judge one of the 3 or 4 best players in baseball?
100%.
That's all I'm worried about.
Yeah,
I know he's got to stay healthy.
Right.
I got you,
well,
Sal.
But that's a big part
that.
Of it, and he's getting older, and as you get older, the more things go wrong with the body. I mean, that's just proven fact. So to the caller's point, I would have relied on Judge being healthy this year. Unfortunately, he was already banged up with mid-spring beat-up, whatever that is, and that is a fact, okay? So he had the mid-spring beat-up, which makes me less confident that he's going to be healthy this season. And to the point, the bigger point that the caller was making, and I agree with, this is supposed to be an all-in year. They brought in Soto for 1 year. Judge is here, healthy now, in the prime of his career, or you hope to be healthy now because it's not going to get any better as he gets older. They should go all in. They did not. Their window is now closed. It is opening day tomorrow. Montgomery, gone. Snell, gone. Burns, gone. Cease, gone. Hader, gone. Yankees didn't get any. They got Marcus Stroman. I mean, come on. They were supposed to pile on, go all in on top of adding Juan Soto.
See, I look at, there are a couple of ways to look at age here, right? So, yeah, Aaron Judge has had some injuries, so it's a fear that's going to be there most of his career. I'm certainly going to grant you that. I'm not running from that. But, you know, because he got to the bigs at a fairly advanced age, given today's standards of elevating prospects, usually from AA, you know, the stars generally bypass AAA in a lot of cases. If not, it's just a cup of coffee. It's like the old days where you get 2,000 at-bats at each level or I should say 2,000 total. They're on a super jet, a Learjet up to the show. All right. So, because he came up at the age of 24, and he's now 31, he hasn't played as much Major League Baseball as you think. Now, part of it is because he's been hurt.
Right.
But part of it is because of COVID. There was a condensed season, 60 games, and other players reap the benefits of that as well. I don't think that there's as much wear and tear on, like, he's 31, but
he's going to be 32.
I know. Well, obviously, if you're 31, you're going to be.
Well, in April. So he's basically.
Yeah, let's keep him at 31.
32 season. Yeah. Yeah.
He's not there. I got you. Trust me. A week before my 50th birthday last year, I kept saying, I'm in my 40s. Yeah. So hang on to it as long as you can. Hang on for dear life, bro. Yeah. I get it. It's a little worrisome, but I do think that people have been a little bit unfair in diagnosing what has been his ails. I mean, you run into a wall. How many times do I have to say it? He was going to win the MVP again. Think about if he doesn't run into the wall and we're sitting here today, and even if he doesn't bang 62, but he bangs 57 and he wins the MVP. First of all, the Yankees are a 90-ish win team, and they're at least a wild card team. They're not going to win the division, but they're in the playoffs a year ago, and it's very likely Aaron Judge hit in excess of 120 home runs in 2 years, but it didn't happen because of the wall, not because he hurt his groin running from first to third like Stanton, or he pulled his hamstring. We got to be fair when we talk about the injuries. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and look, he could stay healthy, and I hope he does. I hope we get Judge and Soto back-to-back in that lineup every game this year. I'm just saying that my confidence in that, while it was, you know, somewhat limited to begin with because of the past, and I'm worried about it, it's now crushed because of what went on in the spring. Like, if I had to bet on it, and we don't, thankfully, but if I had to bet, I am betting Judge is not playing a full season. I'm betting Judge is not playing 150 games. It's probably going to be somewhere more around 130, which to me hurts the Yankees' chance. I want to see him healthy.
I know you
do. I hope he can stay healthy. And if he's not healthy at age 32 or 31 or 30,
34, 35, all right. The old adage goes, I understand that part. 877-337-6666. Joe's in Corum, BT and Sal, live at the MLB Network Studio 42. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right,
Joe. I've been listening the last few days, you know, and I've been watching baseball since the early 60s. So, you know, I've seen a lot, and I love the game. My son's now 40 years old. He loves the game, so we keep that moving along. I've got a grandson now. He's starting to watch the game. But the thing that concerns me with the Yankees is I went and looked, and last year they were 25th in the major leagues in RBIs. Okay?
Yep.
I think Houston was second. I think Houston was second in RBIs.
They were abysmal.
No, I'm sorry. Texas was second in RBIs.
Yeah.
So, number one, I don't know how they're going to make up 100 RBIs this year.
It's called Juan Soto. Start with Juan Soto and 40 more games for Aaron Judge.
Okay. That's hopefully, yes. But the second thing that concerns me is without the best pitcher in baseball for a third of the season potentially, well, you've got an average pitching staff now.
Yep.
And
I give you that.
Third, not signing Bader was very good, and letting Houston get him was even worse. So you've got an average closer in Montgomery. What do you have, 24 saves last year? So that's another thing to worry about. So in all three aspects of the game, if things don't break correct for the second half from June 15th on, it could become a long season with all three of those aspects. I mean, it really could be.
I mean, so it could be, but are you leaning that way is the question, Joe. You think that that – do you think that's going to happen?
I think a big part is Judge. I think Soto's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be great. He's playing for his next big contract.
He's going to be great, Joe, because he is great, bottom line.
Right. So my point is you got to sit down and look at it and break out how are they going to make up those RBIs. How are they going to get into the high sevens, low eights, because you got an average pitching staff. So you need to rake every night.
That's
you
what I'm saying.
You need to be able to put up 6, 7,
right.
8
runs. Gotcha.
And if Judge gets hurt, their odds of raking every night go down. And that's a bigger picture. Also, if the young guys don't take that next step or a step like Austin Wells, Volpe taking another step, Dominguez when he comes back, if Rizzo doesn't do what he's supposed to do, there are a lot of ifs. LeMayu's already out. There are a lot of ifs involved. For a team that's all in, World Series aspirations – to me, the disparity between the ceiling and the floor is too great.
I get it. I just want to point this out. I wanted to look it up real fast. Harold Reynolds here is going to join us on set coming up next, which will be fantastic. Love Harold for a long time. Fantastic, fantastic. Good player, too. Could run a little bit. Sal, look at the back of that baseball card. Had a couple of seasons. Maybe the stolen bases surprise you. But when Aaron Judge got hurt, when he ran into the wall, it was a high-profile game Sunday night. The Yankees took 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, and when they won the third game on the Sunday night, that was June 4th, they were 36-25. They were 36-25, and then Judge was gone for 2 months. Without a left fielder, you had Hicks, you had Gallo, you had no catcher, you had Rizzo concussed, you had issues everywhere. The Yankees, even if they are not what some people think, including me, there's not a chance in hell the Yankees bottom out and absolutely peter out and look awful this year. Not happening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A lot of Yanks and Mets energy getting ready for the season. Thanks to our good friends here at MLB Network who have invited us, and we happily took them up on it.
This is like the greatest day ever, dude. It's sick. I don't care. For two baseball nut jobs who love baseball more than anything, to be here, hang out with the whole crew, this is unbelievable.
I actually just don't want to do the show. I want to go to break and just take batting practice all day. But since we are doing the show, we've got one of the great analysts in the game. He's been doing it for a long time. Listen, I'm a couple of years older than Sal, but you should remember Harold Reynolds could play, could pick it. Seattle, Baltimore, could run, obviously, and he's a big-time fixture on MLB Tonight. Three-time Emmy winner as well for Outstanding Studio Analyst. Harold, BT and Sal, what's going on? Welcome to our studio, by the way.
I'm telling you. Welcome to the house. This is awesome, isn't it?
Oh, this is phenomenal, dude.
Yeah, this is one of our four studios we have here. Studio 21's the latest. It's like the premier.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that.
Beautiful one.
That's the Clemente one.
Yeah, and then Studio 3 and Studio K. Studio K is the one we do Hot Stove out of, and it was meant mainly for updates, and it was the old mailroom.
Oh, wow.
But the shows became so popular, and we had so much intake coming in that we had to have somewhere else for people to hop on and do stuff. So Studio K is over here. We'll give you guys a tour, but this is the premiere.
Oh. This is
42. No, Studio 42.
Now, are you the longest tenured MLB Network employee as far as on-air goes?
Yeah. As far as on-air, I remember doing all the auditions, and Tony Petitti, who was the CEO and president at the time when the network started, we did all the auditions. With, the NBA used to be here in Secaucus.
Yep.
So we didn't have studios. So we did them all over at the NBA. And if he liked somebody, then he would bring them back over here in this not-ready studio. And if he didn't, you didn't get to see the place. Mm-hmm. It was funny.
You knew right away.
I knew right away which guy was coming and who wasn't.
How much, by the way, so this is 15 years at the network, getting ready for season number 16, which begins tomorrow, which already began at Seoul, but, you know, for conventional purposes, you know.
Let's not go over
for
that.
What we care about,
I love Major League Baseball. I think they do everything right, BT.
The game has changed a lot.
Even those uniforms. Those beautiful uniforms. They look so good.
Great job,
Commissioner Manfred.
Oh, my God. The game's changed a lot, right? So from when you became an analyst here, I know you were doing your thing at ESPN for a long time, here, how much has the game changed, and has it changed too much?
Dramatically. The number one thing, I think, is statistics. You know, nobody was into the stats like we are now. I mean, everything's measured by a measurable. And even how they draft or analyze players is basically based on what measurements you get, or your exit velocity, your velo, your spin rate, how high you jump, your explosiveness, all that is way more like football than it was with baseball before. The old cigar-smoking scout doesn't carry the weight anymore like he used to. So that's the biggest change. Secondly, it would be the rules. The rule changes have been important. I think they've been great. They were exercised last year, and they're even continuing to tweak them. But it goes back even further. You remember when they were catching a ball and drop it, and you go, what happened?
Yes.
You know, Joe Torre would be in here every other week explaining, well, we're going to change that rule. He actually had control of it. You know, so they've continued to try to move the game forward with the fans to keep up with the times that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
As the world changes, this sport has changed because baseball can be really slow. And the world's so fast, and we started losing a lot of younger audience because they wanted to get everything on a phone, and they're gone, and they get a little snap here, and they're out.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to change as well, and I think it's really working.
I like the evolution of the sport finally where it's going, especially now putting more of an emphasis on defense, on base stealing and all that. But come on, as a middle infielder yourself, did you see the play the other day with Francisco Lindor where he tagged out a runner trying to steal, and they called interference or whatever, bull crap. Like, how is that certain rules where it's just common sense or the ball beating into the bag and putting the tag down? Like, it shouldn't, it's not meant, baseball's not meant to be scrutinized every single inch with replay, or now this where a shortstop, I understand why the rule's in place, but come on, you shouldn't be a shortstop having to worry about putting your glove hand in front of the bag to get it out.
That is the challenge of today's player. I mean, look, I remember the first time I was in the big leagues, I took a lead, and they threw the second to pick me off, and Bobby Grich dropped the knee.
Oh, Bobby Grich from the Angels.
And Bobby second Grich baseman. Was thick.
Yeah, he was good.
The knee, and
he could hit.
I smashed my hand, I'm reaching around the base.
Oof.
There wasn't no, well, the umpire's going to help you out here. He's going to change the rule. I barely got back. You know what I had to do? I got a bigger lead. I came back cleats first.
Yeah.
And Bobby never did it again.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the game has changed. It was really policed a lot more. You know, you don't see guys get thrown at. You don't see a lot of those different things. And understandably, I mean, you're paying guys $50 million, $40 million. You want to see them on the field. So the investment has changed how the play on the field is conducted in a sense. So
for sure. Yeah, there's no doubt.
So, yeah, the rules. But back to the Lindor play. Those things will evolve. It's new.
That's going to be a problem this year.
So
that play in particular is going
to
be an
issue. Let me take you back
to
1 year. They wanted to emphasize pitchers making sure they came to a discernible stop in spring training. This is back in the 80s. All of a sudden, every pitcher, every inning, balk, 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 balk.
Oh, God.
They put the rule in, and then you have to enforce it, and then you go ahead and make the adjustments off of it. So
got it.
I know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They want to protect the players. You don't want Acuna sliding in head first and somebody's knee and leg is there blocking it, which is an illegal move, really is. And so they listen to a lot of the players, and they listen to the front offices that say, hey, my premier guys are getting hurt. So then you adjust to it. And there's always an extreme, then there's an adjustment. Remember when the Posey rule came in?
Yep.
Buster Posey.
I mean, we saw that get called every night.
Yeah.
And now you don't see it as often.
That's
so
true.
I think they'll learn how to adjust with it.
Okay, so Mendoza's going to be interesting for the Mets. And we're talking to DeRosa, your buddy Mark DeRosa, who joined us earlier here on BT and Sal, about the
energy.
Did
he say anything? He talks
well, he was
more
making
trash.
Fun of you, actually. He's talking trash about you.
Oh,
exactly what he's
gosh,
saying.
Oh, gosh, that guy.
He said he got beat out for the Mets interview, Mets managerial job by Mickey Callaway. How about having that hung on your resume? Losing out to Mickey Callaway.
The Mets had a tough stretch there for a little bit, didn't they?
Well, they did. And let's see if they get out of it this year. Hopefully the tough stretch
Mets
is
fan,
over.
I could tell by your reaction.
Come on, Harold. I'm in pain. Can't you see that? It's been since 86 since you were playing. I need to see my team win. I'm going to be 50 soon. Like 6 years, I'll be 50.
I love it.
Just said that for effect.
I love it.
So Mendoza's young and youthful and new. Gibbons next to him, good support group. So we're just starting the evaluation for the Mets manager, Aaron Boone. To me, it's been more of a Cashman issue than a Boone issue, in my opinion. You don't have the horses, you can't win. How you could build the team with a fence, we're looking at the studio, it's 316 feet down the line. Yankee Stadium's 314. Basically, you had no lefties outside of Brett Gardner.
Right.
Which is, and I like Brett, all due respect.
He wasn't Babe Ruth.
Come on,
he
can't be a preeminent lefty stick. So I think it's more Cashman's fault. But if things go awry this year for the Yankees with the Soto stuff, and you got to keep him happy and make sure he wants to come back, and Judge's window and prime of Cole and blah, 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 and the payroll, his contract is up after this year, Aaron Boone. I mean, are you a Boone believer? And do you believe that they could be entering a point where if it doesn't go well, they're just tired of hearing Boone's voice and you got to make a pivot, you got to get somebody else in here?
Well, in all fairness, I don't think Boone's had a chance to manage yet. He's kind of had the governors on him. And it's been the front office deciding personnel, for one, but also decisions. I talked about the biggest changes in the game. I left out the managerial impact because those are – they're scripting games out in meetings the night before.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's not just Yankees, but that's industry-wide.
I know.
So, therefore, it's hard to judge the manager. Did you really make those calls? You think Dave Roberts walked out and took a guy out of a game, you know, in the World Series? Or Cash in Tampa when he took out Blake Snell when he's dominating? Cash doesn't do that when he's playing. He wouldn't do that, I don't think, in his right mind as a manager. But that's a decision in the front office. He's throwing six innings. He's throwing this many times. He's been through the lineup twice. Get him out.
Do they even write the lineup now? Like, will Aaron Boone even determine when Volpe moves to the leadoff spot? Honestly.
It depends. The closest thing I can come to it, and it's kind of funny, Buck Showalter, one of my dear friends, when he was with
He's back now with the MLB Network.
And we're going to miss him managing. Buck needs to be managing the big leagues. So when Buck was a young manager with the Yankees, George Steinbrenner would call the dugout. All right, so one of the famous stories Buck would tell me, I'm like, no way. And he says, yeah, you know, they had Scooter calling games.
Sure.
Phil Rizzuto would be calling the game. Joe Morgan would be coming through calling the game. And all these old-timers would be sitting there going, oh, this guy's – he's loading up the ball. He's throwing a spitter. You know, and George is sitting down in Tampa watching the game on TV. Mm-hmm. So this particular game, you got Dennis Martinez facing Wickman.
Bob Wickman, yeah.
Yes.
He had his finger cut off. He threw a pretty good slider because
there you
of that.
Go. You're
I remember
on
that
it.
Well, yeah.
You're on it.
Oh, yeah.
But he also cheated because he knew he had the finger split. Nobody's going to think, oh, he's throwing a spitter.
Oh.
So he added a little spitter on top of it. So Dennis Martinez is dealing, cutting the ball all over the place. And Joe Morgan's calling the game going, that ball's cutting too much. There's no way a slider moves like that. Steinbrenner's sitting at home in Tampa. He calls the dugout. And it would ring all the time, and Buck like, I'm not getting it. You got to get it. And he says he would never say hi, hello, nothing like that. He'd just answer the phone and go, you got to be the dumbest manager in all of baseball. And Buck's like, huh? And he goes, can't you see this guy is throwing a spitter, and he's cutting the ball, and it's moving all over the place, and he's shutting us down. And Buck goes, well, who do you think's throwing for us? He goes, Wickman, having a great game. He goes, all right, so should I go out and check their guy? Because they'll check our guy. Who's cheating better?
Mm-hmm.
And he just hears a click.
Yeah. See, Dennis didn't need to cheat as much as Wickman did.
Yeah.
That's the point. Well, that's a good story.
But I love the conversation about managers because it's something that I love. I know BT and I are old school baseball fans, so I love managers to a point where now I don't think there are managers. I call them data applicators. Aaron Boone isn't a manager. Mm. He applies the data, and Boone I know takes offense to it, and I don't care. Prove me wrong. Be a manager. Instead of talking about lanes, they talk more about bowling. Oh, this was this guy's lane to come in. What are you talking about, lanes? Manage the game. The pre-scripted data stuff that makes you, you know, go into that next game is, to me, data applicating. Well, there aren't managers anymore.
That's why I'm saying we haven't fully seen him manage yet. I think a little bit last year. Now we'll get a chance. I think they had a big conversation. The Yankees have brought in a few more people to kind of move away from all the analytics. You get Omar Minaya, you bring in Brian
Sabian.
Yep.
You know, so they're looking now back to a little bit more. They're turning back towards, let's watch the game instead of just the information given to us. So I think Aaron Boone, with that, he gets to talk baseball a little bit more. He gets to manage a game. Boone comes from a great baseball family. He's a great baseball mind.
Oh, no question.
I remember talking to him for many years, even when he was playing, and getting a chance to talk. He knows what's going on. So I hope he gets the freedom for people to see what he can
do. Well, we do too, but we know that he won't. We're talking to Harold Reynolds.
Guys are tough, man.
Listen, we call it the way it is, bro. Right. Listen, we bring a regular fixture here on MLB Tonight. Three-time Emmy winner, outstanding studio analyst. I got a quick one for you. Then maybe we'll open a quick pack
of
cards.
You want to do a pack of cards?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quick one. Tougher at bat for you, digging as a righty, and these are both righties, vintage Pedro or vintage Dwight Gooden? What's the lesser?
Me facing?
Yeah, who would you rather face?
I hit
face
left-handed
least?
Against those guys.
Yeah, but that's true. That's true. You flip the other
vintage
side.
Vintage Pedro or vintage Dwight Gooden? I would say Pedro because he was meaner.
Yeah.
Pedro
throw
came
up and
from
in.
The old school. He would throw at you.
Yeah.
Great quick story, and then we can get into the cards. Mm-hmm. And this is why I think pitching's changed so much. And I've been talking about this a lot lately. But Roger Clemens is facing Dwight Gooden, 1986 All-Star game in Houston.
Okay.
Pitcher's hit. Clemens from the American League hasn't had an at-bat since high school because he didn't hit in college either.
Yep.
So here he comes. He's in the All-Star game. He's facing Dwight Gooden. The night before, they have a press conference. You know how the pitchers talk to the press.
Yep.
Dwight says to Roger, hey, straight up tomorrow. Roger goes, what's that mean? He goes, straight up, fastballs to each other. Oh, okay. All right, great, man, great. So Clemens comes up. First pitch, fastball. It's 90-something plus miles an hour. He turns to the umpire and goes, I throw that hard? And the umpire says, yeah. And he goes, I'll never throw another breaking ball in my life.
Oh,
all right?
Man.
It just gave him a different perspective
yeah.
on how hard it is to hit a fastball or hit anything.
Yep.
So as the bat continued, Dwight had given up a home run to Lou Whitaker. And,
Tigers,
and so,
yeah, Lou, yeah, sweet
so
Lou could play.
Next pitch, just Clemens fastball. He fouls it off into the
They're
the
over
other
the first base.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then he threw him a nasty curveball.
Oh, he busted out the Lord Charles.
It, struck him out. Froze him. Struck him out.
Oh, that's...
And so Roger's like, okay, I'm going to get him. They took Dwight out before he got the face.
Roger was going to hit him in the head.
He
throw
probably,
up and in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look,
probably.
Clemens, I don't even want to bring his name up. I still hate his guts. All right. So here's how we do this. Oh, he drilled Piazza in the head. You know what I'm saying? I have an issue with Clemens. Although, is he here? As long as he's here. He's not here. So here's what
here
we
know. Comes right now.
Yeah, right.
How are we doing this?
We normally, I'm just going to have Harold do it, I think.
Okay.
Why? You want to go head to head with him?
Nah, let him do it. I mean, yeah. I would, but it's easy
so
to guess. Go
pick,
for it.
Pick, generally, we do this. I'll open up a pack of cards, okay. Give the name of the player. You have to guess what team he was on that year. So ooh. You could pick. We have 84 through 89.
I don't get to see the guy?
No. 84 through 89.
Well,
in your
okay.
mind.
All right, let's go.
84 through 89. You pick a pack. You could pick the year.
84, 85, 86, 87, 89. Let's do that one.
87?
84, yeah.
87,
that's good.
You played at this point.
Yeah.
What year was your rookie year?
83-ish, 84.
Okay, let's see. All right, no
what was your high in stolen bases? 40, didn't you? 40
60.
Something? 60?
Yeah.
60
stolen bases?
I'm telling you, he could play him. He could pick it. He was, Arrow was good.
While he's looking at the cards, Lou wanted me to tell the quick story. So I steal 60 bags that year Ricky Henderson got hurt. He's stealing over 100 a year.
Oh, yeah.
And he had 40 at All-Star, at like, end of May. I finished the year with 60. Mm-hmm. I get a phone call at the end of, end of the season. Ricky here. I go, hey, what's up, Rick? He goes, 60 stolen bases? You ought to be ashamed.
Yeah.
Ricky had 60 at the All-Star break. Click and hung up the phone.
Ricky had 60 at the All-Star break.
Ricky, all right, let's do it.
We'll bust through these. Brad Havens.
Ooh, I remember him.
Left-hand pitcher?
Yes.
Cleveland?
Baltimore.
Okay.
Moose Haas.
Ooh.
Moose Haas was like a manager, wasn't he?
He was a pitcher. I'm going to give you a little help
here. Okay, no, I don't know.
Okay,
Moose.
Okay,
he was with
Oakland
the Brewers
A's.
On that good team, but he's with the A's.
Mark Eichhorn.
Oh yeah,
you know him.
I face Eichhorn a lot.
What team?
Toronto Blue Jays.
There you go, Blue Jays. This is a layup, but I'll give it to you anyway. Fernando Valenzuela.
Oh yeah, we know that. Right. I don't know which in '87.
Yeah,
was he with
87, 1987.
Was it?
Don't overthink
Padres?
It, dude. Don't overthink it. Stop.
Yeah, come on, Harold.
Come on, man. He came up in early 80s.
Manny Trio.
I know who he was. I played with him in Baltimore in 93.
Manny Trio.
Oh, Manny Trio. Sweetest fielding hands. I got him with the Phillies probably right there.
Cubs.
Close. Cubs, okay.
Yeah, let's see. He was with the Phillies before that.
Okay.
What year was your rookie year, Harold?
83.
83, okay. So you go back. This is a little bit.
Manny Trio.
Greg Swindell,
left-handed pitcher, Cleveland.
Okay. This one you should get. Mike Brown.
Hmm.
Mariners?
Yeah.
Probably
better get Mike Brown.
Now, that's what I mean. It's your team. Ken Griffey, Sr.
At that time, he's probably with the Yankees.
Close. Atlanta. He was with the Yankees 86 tops,
yeah.
I want to say.
He had 300 with the Yankees once or twice, too.
Davey Johnson, one of my heroes, Harold.
Davey Johnson, you love the Met.
Yo, baby!
25 homers is at second baseman.
No,
the
he
Mets
had 40 there. One year, I
40,
think, second
yeah.
baseman.
He
the
played
Orioles.
With them. I know it was with the Orioles.
No,
yeah, he had 40 home
him.
Runs one year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He let me hold his World Series ring. That's all that matters. Whitey Herzog.
Well, we know all about Whitey Herzog. The Cardinals ran.
The White Rat, we call
Cardinals.
Him.
He was actually with the Royals before
yes,
that.
Yes, he was.
Interesting
before
name here.
Before Dick Houser or
yeah.
after? Before Dick. Yeah, I got you.
Bob Boone.
Bob Boone, catcher.
Yep.
And who's he with? He's probably with the Angels at
yes,
that time.
Correct. With the California Angels.
Could have gone Phillies.
Juan Espino.
Juan is a outfielder. Cubs.
No? Yankees on that particular card there. Omar Moreno.
Oh.
This
you
is
know,
a tough
Omar
center,
Moreno.
Center fielder.
Center fielder.
Run a little bit.
Was he with the Reds still? No, Pirates, I mean.
He was with the Pirates a long time.
Yeah, we are family
but then the
team.
He
yeah.
was with the Yankees, too, in the World Series in 81. I think he played center field.
Two more. How would you have done with this pack, BT?
Not as good as I thought.
It was a tough
I would have
pack.
Been off on some of the teams. I know a lot of the players,
tough
though,
pack.
To be honest.
All right, Mike Brown.
I don't know.
You just gave me Mike Brown.
No.
Another
you
Mike
got
Brown.
Two Mike Browns.
Not that same one.
Huh.
I'm not sure who
all
this
right.
one is.
Pirates.
Oh, the last one's great.
Okay.
Just,
oh,
look
yeah.
at, just look at him.
Steve Balboni.
Oh, Steve Balboni. Is he with the Royals?
Yes, he is.
Boy.
The Royals. All right, there you go.
Can we get a can we get a bonus?
Balboni.
Can we get Rick Anderson?
Oh, yeah, Rick Anderson. You're familiar with him?
Jerk.
1987, Rick
You're
Anderson.
A jerk.
Do I play Rick Anderson?
He was a Met, and I beat him head to head. It was a
you see the laptop?
You want that gum, Harold?
You see that?
Yeah, going,
I lost my composure a little bit. see the keyboard?
He broke it.
I lost on a
piece of gum from 1987. That's
disgusting. Harold, this has been awesome.
Hey,
man.
We're not done. So when we come back,
we're not done.
I gotta throw you BP.
Oh,
let's go.
We gotta do it.
I heard, I'll do it right now.
You can do it actually with the mic on. Take a swing.
I heard.
I gotta lose the mic. I gotta.
I heard Leiter wanted to strike us out, so maybe Harold can give some BP.
He's a lefty. I can't handle that.
This microphone. You can be right here and swing and still talk to me.
You know what? You want to hang around?
We'll take a break.
Let's do it. BT and Sal on the Fan. So we got the top story coming up, which I'm sure will be Harold striking me out on the Fan live here at MLB.
BP. I'm going to let him hit.
I appreciate that. Just a little meatballs right down Broadway. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan live here celebrating baseball opening day. Tomorrow, we are live at MLB Network Studios, Studio 42, MLB Park. And we are going to hit you with the crown coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, we're going to do something special. I am going to live broadcast. Now, I've always wanted to be a play-by-play guy, and I grew up doing it for baseball. I love doing this. So here we go. BT is going to be in the batter's box against Harold Reynolds, who is going to pitch him. Now, remember, BT is the guys who set you up. Harold getting his warm-ups in. BT is a guy who thinks he is a major leaguer in his own mind, at the very least. He played college baseball, and, you know, come on. He's showing off here to DeRosa and Harold. BT, you don't have the headset. I can say whatever I want. BT stands in, a hulking left-handed hitter. Harold on the mound here at MLB Network Studios 42. First pitch, swing and a miss. Oh, strike one. BT whiffs. Choking under pressure as he knows we're live on the air. This one hit deep to right, caught in the light fixture. What's the rule on that? That's gone. Okay, it's gone. Harold giving BT the benefit of all. That's a shot right there. BT looks pretty good.
What are we in Tampa?
Crushing one of Santa. Yeah. Hop, you could join in here and add the commentary. I'm sure Spike loves this. Spike, this is your going away present. I know we got a break here in a second, so this is basically a cluster buster. Yeah, Harold. Oh, this is how it felt. Where they were, yeah. Now, I am, for the record, I am like broadcasting here right behind home plate.
Where the umpire would miss a call. Angel Hernandez.
I'm in the umpire's spot here to paint the picture, as this is a thrilling radio segment, and Harold just throws it at me. I lost it in the lights. I lost it. I'm frightened. A little foul tip to the left. All right, I think we're tapped out here. Is that no? One more. All right, one more round. Three more balls. Here we go. Let's see what Harold's got for BT. Hey, BT rips that one right. That's off the scoreboard. Right. You ended on that. That's good. There we go. All right, there you have it. Everybody lives their childhood dream, including me, who gets to broadcast a fake inning. Harold, thank you so much for coming by, dude. You're the man. Been a big fan of yours forever. Yeah, let's do it. I mean, you like that play-by-play, right? The thing is, I add some personality to it. I don't know if they can handle that.
I love the personality.
All right. Thank you, Harold Reynolds.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!